Hello there to everyone on the Blind Geek Zone. It's me, John Moore, back with you again for another podcast. And before I go any further about the topic that I'm going to talk about today, I want to make a few comments about Extreme Call Blocker, which, as many of you know, is the last podcast that I submitted. There have been some changes that have made the app, in my opinion, not worth using anymore. I have uninstalled it. I'm looking for another one. One thing they did is, because of a new restriction that Google has in Android 4.4, they can no longer build message blocking into call blocking apps. There's an app that you have to get called Easy Messaging, and basically what happens is that the message blocking in ECB is handled through, it basically uses Easy Messaging as a proxy and blocks it that way. They can't access Google's API anymore. They also had to remove the mobile monitor feature that allowed for Extreme Call Blocker to have direct access to your call log and things like that. I personally am not a big fan of that. I'm trying to find a good call blocking app for myself. I have uninstalled Extreme Call Blocker, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to... This is not a demo of anything. If it was a demo of what I'm going to talk about, we would be going on for a couple of hours, which I don't want to keep you guys that long. This was inspired by the Airport Travel Tips podcast that Edgar and Jose did that got uploaded to here. And I want to give you guys an alternative to carry-on bags. And it is not checked baggage either. And these have implications outside of the airport. That's why I'm giving you a general overview of what this company makes and how it can help you, how their products can help you as a blind person. I have introduced several other people to this brand. Monica from the CAVI. I recommended one to her. There's a one other person that ordered one, and I haven't heard from him whether or not he has gotten it or not. But the company that I am going to talk about in this podcast is a company called Scotty Vest, and it's scottevest.com. It is online only unless you, I believe if you live in London, you can go to Harrods department store and you can get Scotty Vest items there. But this company was basically started by a guy who was, he had to take a lot of business trips and had to fly, had to fly a lot. And he got tired of having carry-on bag regulations, and he got tired of how regulated it was becoming, and the fact that he had to carry a lot. And he is a tech geek, big avid tech guy, and so he had a lot of gadgets and stuff he was carrying. So he decided to form a startup that would have clothes, mainly jackets, but he's branched out into other things that have hidden pockets that are big enough to carry all your gadgets in. And that was, I believe, 11 years ago this year, and now his company is booming. They had $10 million in sales. I think it was last year they had $10 million in sales. Over $10 million. And when I first heard about this, I am a big fan of the twit.tv network, the Twit network. You know, Leo Laporte and the gang, and I am, in particular, I am a very big fan of the Gizwiz with, nowadays it's OMG Chad and Dick DiBartolo. But when I first heard about Scotty Vest, it was in 2012, on an episode of the Gizwiz, and the video for that week, as those of you that are regular Gizwiz listeners know, that Dick tries to show one or two videos every week that show off different gadgets. If you get a chance to listen to last week's episode, it was so cool. The 3D printer that can print candy. It was one of the coolest things ever. But he talked about this thing called the Transformer. And I remember thinking, well, you know, I played with Transformers as a kid. Why is he talking about this? This should be in the Gadget Warehouse segment, not at the start of the show. But then he goes further, and he says it has 18 pockets and removable sleeves that are attached by magnets. Now, I didn't believe him. One big thing, I am very serious about having hoods on my jackets. I want my jackets to have hoods, and this one didn't have a hood. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, who in his right mind needs 18 pockets? I mean, seriously, who needs 18 pockets? And I know that's the attitude that a lot of people that I have told about these jackets and vests have. You know, why do you need that many? And I'm going to get to my defense later of that, because later on, at I had looked into, you know, Scotty Vest, and I'm like, okay, well, I want to have one just to look at, you know, one or two just to look at. And if I don't like them, well, I'll just keep it around as a backup jacket. So for Christmas, I asked for several items. I have given away both of the jackets that I got that Christmas. I gave them to people because I replaced them with his newer designs for those products that just came out. One came out last year and one came out this year. And I, after looking them over, I felt that they were a lot more efficient than the ones that I had. And so I gave them away. But and I saw that this could really work. Basically, if you've never seen a Scotty Vest before, he makes shirts and pants and even boxers and a baseball cap that have a whole bunch of hidden pockets in them. Basically, a lot of it's more than you expect on most of those clothing. But what he's really famous for are his jackets. And vests, and that is what I wear. I wear a Scotty Vest every day, or every time I go out, I put one on. I now have Scotty Vest outfits that I can wear year-round, which I didn't for a long time, but I do now, as of a couple of weeks ago. And I own, let's see, it's, I believe it's six jackets and a hoodie. Now, some people would say, well, you're being a bit ridiculous. I get told that all the time. Like, nobody has six coats. But I'm going to get to... no, I'm sorry. I think it's five jackets, a vest, and a hoodie, which is... The vest is my year-round item of clothing. He even makes a suit... jacket that has 23 pockets on it, and I'm not kidding. That's next on my list of things to buy from him. Is the suit jacket. I had pretty much gotten to the point where I will not wear normal jackets, you know, that you can just go buy in stores and stuff like that. I will not wear those anymore because they don't have enough pockets. And I am not going to talk about every single product that I have because that would be a very long podcast. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an overview of what you can expect if you choose to order them from him. First of all, you can expect very high quality material that the jackets are made of. They are built to last, and they really are phenomenal. Now, what I always tell people is you need to get one. If you can only get one Scotty vest jacket or vest, and I'm emphasizing the jackets and vests because that's what I wear primarily. I have a pair of Scotty vest pants, which I think I've only worn one time, and I have a Scotty vest fleece pullover, which is no longer being manufactured, and that I'm not really a fan of anyway. I've only worn it like two times since I got it, and then I got the hoodie, which I have to talk about that hoodie a little bit later, but so. One thing that, you know, they are built to last. I will tell you that when you get one, you may feel very overwhelmed when you get into, you know, learning about the different pockets and different features. And so I'm going to talk about the different features that you can expect generally in all of the jackets. Some of them don't have some of these. Like there is one that I have that does not have a clear touch fabric pocket. You know, so I'm going to explain generally what you can expect. First of all, there is on his newer designs, there is one, on his older designs, there are two, what they call clear touch pockets, and they are interior pockets of the jacket that allow you to interact with a touchscreen phone without having to take it out of the pocket. And you say, well, how am I going to be able to hear VoiceOver or, in my case, TalkBack, because I'm a very committed Android user. And I will get to that in a minute. Now, my situation is a little bit different. I choose not to use the clear touch pockets, but I do keep my phone in them. I do keep my phone in one of them. I still have two of his older jackets that have the two clear touch pockets. You could put an iPhone in one and an iPod Touch in the other, you know, as an example. But he's been killing that ever since last year. He has started to phase that out. To put the two clear touch pockets on one jacket. If you get several of his products, speaking of clear touch, have what they call quick draw pockets. Now, I find this to be a very bad inconvenience. I own one of these that has a quick draw pocket, and basically what it allows you to do is it allows you to access your phone at waist level, and you put it in a pocket, and you can basically, there's a hand warmer pocket on top of it, and you undo three magnets, and there is a pocket with clear touch fabric sewn into it that's in there, and you can put your phone in there, and supposedly the idea is that you can interact with it without having to take your phone out, but I personally am not a fan. I never use it. I don't even put my phone in there. Because it really, I just find it to be very, very inconvenient. One thing that all of his jackets have is what is called the personal area network. And this is where you get to, you know, take using your phone through the pocket and being able to hear. Basically, there are conduits, there are holes all over the jacket, and so when you first feel of it, you think, oh, well, this is really badly made, because there's holes everywhere, you know, there's holes in all the pockets, and there's holes on the outside. Up in the hoodie, there are holes on the outside, which are intentional, so don't, you know, And what it allows you, well, they're on the inside where you can feel them. But what you can do is you can feed your wires through the jacket so that they are not in your way, in the jacket or vest, so that they are not in your way. And there are two pockets. There's a pocket on either side of your neck where each of your earbuds goes, if you're using a wired pair of earbuds. His newer jackets, his newer designs come out as of this year. All of his new designs have, or actually last November with the, or last October with the Brad Thor Alpha jacket, which I am a very proud owner of a Brad Thor Alpha jacket, which that also deserves honorable mention a little later. If you are carrying to give an example, that battery pack that AT Guys sells, or that they were selling, I don't know if they're doing one anymore, the one where you could hook up all of your phones to it and USB connected devices to it and charge the battery on the go. Well, how would you like to have the battery pack in one pocket, feed your cables through to other pockets where your devices are that need to be charged, and just plug them in without having to, so you're always powered up on the go and you can always top off? I do not use that. I don't use the personal area network at all. I don't get them for the personal area networks. I get them because of pockets, and more pockets. So you have those two. The personal area network is the big thing that stands out to a lot of people, about, you know, the ability to feed your wires through your jacket. You can expect all of his jackets to be somewhat water-resistant. A lot of them are water-resistant. I have a couple that are waterproof. So there's that. He has a no-bulge system where the way that the pockets are designed, the weight of the stuff that you're carrying in it, does not bulge outward, unless you're doing it the wrong way. They're very comfortable to wear, and the only one that I think that screams, you know, nerd traveler's jacket is a jacket called the Expedition, which I happen to have, and that's actually because of the amount of external pockets it has, basically, if you do it right, people will not know that you're carrying a crap load of stuff under there. Like I said earlier in the podcast, this is going to tie into the Real Random Radio podcast that Edgar and Jose did, and I will talk about that later, because there is a tie-in with traveling through the airport and wearing these, and you can probably guess what it is and what I'm going to go into, but I'm going to save that for a little bit later. He also has, if you get, it's called the Tropiformer. The sleeves are attached via magnets. This is one of the coolest concepts that I have ever seen in a jacket, where basically, rather than zip-off sleeves, there are rows of magnets that are all along the jacket, and then there are magnets all along the sleeve. And so what you do is you put your arms in the sleeves and they just largely set themselves in place. You know, you straighten them out, you make sure, but they're magnets. Now, not all of his jackets have hoods. If you need a hood, he only has certain models with hoods. I want hoods on my jackets, but in his case, his jackets, some of his jackets that don't have hoods are the best ones, like the Brad Thor Alpha jacket, which I think is the only one that I have. Alt-10M, which is one that you're not going to be able to get for too much longer. But the Brad Thor Alpha jacket is my all-time favorite Scotty Vest jacket. when I need a jacket, and then I have the Quest vest, which I'll get to later, but that has a hood. And even the Tropiformer has a stowable hood, so he does listen to people that want hoods, but generally, he does not like to put hoods on some of his jackets. So, you know, because he also makes a line of hoodies, which I have a very, very rare one, which, again, deserves honorable mention. I will talk about it later. So if you care about a hood, like I wear hearing aids, and so I always try to keep at least one or two of his jackets that have hoods handy. But now the majority of jackets I have from him have hoods that I can just throw up when I need a hood, because I'm not a fan of carrying umbrellas and trying to use a cane in the other hand. And his jackets are very, very waterproof. His jackets and vests are they're water resistant. There's one or two that are waterproof, which I have, but most of them are water resistant. It's just a matter of being able to have everything that you need on your person, and you don't have to worry about. You hardly ever had to worry about getting mugged with everything in it, because most of the pockets are hidden, so unless you know the jacket, a pickpocket would have a very hard time finding your stuff if you know how to conceal it really well. I know that was one of the big things that I was one of the people that I helped get one. That was one of the things that she told me, was she said, I no longer carry a purse. I just store everything in the jacket, and you don't have to worry about, you can feel a lot more secure knowing your items are safe. One thing that also that a lot of his newer jackets have is an RFID blocking pocket. Now, you may wonder, why would you want that? And basically, with identity theft being on the rise and people being able to steal your credit cards with RFID skimmers, especially in certain countries, he built a pocket into a lot of his newer jackets that is lined with an RFID blocking material. So you put your wallet in there, you put your credit cards in there, and it will block those signals from getting to. It will block RFID signals from getting to your things. Now, I have taken it a step further. I am not a fan of being tracked via my cell phone. So, he has a standalone item that he makes called the Blackout Pocket, which I have. It can fit into several of his newer jackets, including the Brad Thor Alpha jacket. Basically, what you do is, it is a, you know, when you look at it, it looks like a little bag. And, in fact, I'm getting mine out right now so I can describe it to you. And there are, I'm undoing it. This consists of a little bag-looking thing. And, you know, it looks like something you would have on a jacket pocket. And what happens is that you open this up, and at first this looks like a bag, and there's smooth material on the inside. So what you do is you put a consumer level cell phone in there, such as in my case, a Nexus 4, or I'm sure in the case of a lot of you, an iPhone 4, iPhone 4S, 5. 5S, and then you close it. You fold the top over twice, and the things you heard me unfastening earlier, there are four Velcro pieces. And basically what happens is you seal it up by folding, there's four Velcro pieces, and then there's a long Velcro strip, and that is the rough side of Velcro. And then you have four pieces of the smooth side of Velcro. And what happens is that when you fold it over two times. It causes your... Oh, great. Sorry. Hang on. Okay, sorry about that, everyone. That was, okay, good, it's still working. Sorry about that, guys. I've got a, Bluetooth interface that goes directly to my hearing aids, and I had to restart it, and it caused iTunes to come on, so I had to shut that off real quick. But anyway, what you do is you fold this over, you fold it so you have the two Velcro pieces on top, and then you have two that are towards the bottom. And you fold it over twice so that the four Velcro pieces all stick to the strip. And it forces the two layers of RFID blocking material that are inside the bag to close, to basically form a cage around the phone. And it, you are off grid within 3 to 5 seconds. And in other words, no GPS, no nothing. I mean, your phone can't even get calls. I had an experience. I used this a couple of weeks ago. I was on a flight. I was traveling with family somewhere, and I decided to, instead of putting my phone in airplane mode, which still, you know, the GPS is, I believe, still on, so there, you know, you're still being tracked by triangulation. I put it in the blackout pocket. And what I found out later was because I got off the flight and forgot to take it out and did not actually take it out until a couple of hours later. And all of my voicemails are handled by Google Voice. I do not have my carrier controlling my voicemail. So I get back to the hotel we're staying at and log onto the hotel's Wi-Fi. And I can't connect to my VPN, so I log onto the hotel's Wi-Fi. And so I have a lot of emails from Google Voice saying new missed call. Because basically what my phone did is when it couldn't get the signal, Google Voice took it up. And there was no record of said calls on my phone. That is how off-grid you are. So... It, you know, I got called a wacko for getting that because I was showing some people how it works and I was venting about how, you know, certain people, you know, shouldn't have the right to track us. And so I got it and they're like, well, you're crazy because you have that. And I will say that is not for everyone. It is not for everyone. I mean, I have nothing to hide, but I just don't like the fact that you can be tracked, and that so that's why I got that. It's a way to avoid, but you do have to be careful when you use it because if you are out and about and you're lost or whatever, and people are trying to find you, and your phone is in the blackout pocket, well, you can guess what will happen. So you do, if you're a blind person, you do have to. I advise you use that with care. I don't use it most of the time. I only use it when I know I'm going to be in a place where, you know, either I either don't want to be disturbed, or in the case of going through, you know, getting on planes, in the case of I don't use my phone anyway, so why bother even keeping it in airplane mode? So, but I got it for only $32. The price is normally $40, and I got it for $32 because of a promo code that Twit listeners get, where we can get 20% off of anything we purchase. And so, you know, I was able to handle that with ease. But anyway, enough about the blackout. But it's called a blackout pocket level 2. What's built into his new jackets investor, what's called blackout pocket level 1, which is protects credit cards. I have heard that some people have managed to block out phone successfully with it, but I went the safe route and got a level 2 blackout pocket because that's the one that he recommends anyway. There are the pockets are tactily different. They have the zippers and all that. The pocket placement, it's they're very different. They're different sizes and different lengths for everything. If you're in the habit of carrying a tablet or a such as an iPad or a Nexus 7, or in my case, I'm going to start carrying when I can get one. I'm going to start carrying a little 11-inch laptop because I am getting away from Apple and going back to Windows. And those of you that have known me for a while know what a very, very big deal that is. But and I've been away from iOS for a year. But if you're carrying like a tablet or a netbook, all of his jackets have what they call pad pockets. And basically they are big enough to hold full-sized iPads, even in cases. I used an iPad in a keyboard-equipped case, and it fit in pretty much all of my jackets. His newer jackets have a redesigned iPad pocket, and it took me ages to figure out how to put it in there, but once I got it in there. The Quest vest, which is the vest that I will get to a little bit later, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I have at the end of the podcast, has two pad pockets. Now, I think now is as good a time as any to talk about the Brad Thor Alpha jacket, because if you can get a hold of one of these, you are very, very fortunate. The Alpha was designed in collaboration with New York Times bestselling author Brad Thor, and it has literally sold within hours of shipments arriving. It is so popular. I was frankly lucky to get a hold of one. I consider myself very fortunate to have gotten a hold of one when I did. Not only because he's changing the color of the jacket from gray to black, which I really don't care for, but the Brad Thor Alpha jacket is a tactical jacket. It is designed primarily for law enforcement and people with concealed carry licenses. There are 35 pockets in the jacket. I'm not kidding. And the whole thing is designed to be basically a wearable concealed carry system. And the heart of the concealed carry system is what are called rapid access panels. Now, the Quest vest has a variation of this called easy access panels, but it's a little bit of a different concept. They're built a little bit differently, but the panels on the Alpha jacket are these two huge chest panels. There's big chest length zippers in there. You have one on either side of the main zipper on either side of your chest, and you unzip it, and they are these huge pockets that have pockets within them, so you can store your ammo and your. It has this Velcro for hook and loop attachments, and it's got webbing across the top. Now, do I have a concealed carry license? No, I got this for the organizational value, and that's the big reason why I own a lot of these. It has to do with having one for any occasion and any kind of weather you're going out in. That's why I have so many, because some of them are better than others in certain conditions, and so. It's better to have at least a few on hand. That's just my personal opinion. That's why I always try to invest in them. And a lot of it is also looking at the products and seeing how they would benefit other people in case people want me to help them pick one out. But the main reason is to have different types of jackets for different occasions, because I wear one every day. And it depending on what the weather's going to be outside, I can get one out, load it up, and wear it. Like tomorrow, it's supposed to start really warming up here, so I'm going to get my vest out. I'm going to get my Quest vest back out. But anyway, so back to the rapid access panel is also a pocket itself. And the reason why I say you're lucky if you get a hold of a Brad Thor Alpha jacket is because it is big enough. The chest panels are big enough to hold a 15-inch laptop. I have done it. I've had experience with it. I did it when I flew to and from Kentucky just a couple of weeks ago, actually. I stowed the laptop in the chest pocket and carried it. People were like, how did you do that? It was, you know, it was really amusing because they see me pull the laptop out. And it was very... and you will be very lucky. He is taking pre-orders now for the next shipment of Alpha Jackets, which are arriving May 15th, if you want to reserve one. But you need to understand that just because the shipment comes in on May 15th does not mean that you will get yours with that particular shipment. Because, again, these are so, so popular. I mean, I had a very narrow window to order mine last November. One other thing that the Bryathor Alpha Jacket is good for is hiding binaural microphones, which is when I do podcasting or when I do remote recordings, I wear the Alpha Jacket a lot to conceal my microphones, but I have a vest for that now, that I can wear if it's warmer out. So I don't have to keep getting out that jacket when it's 60 some odd degrees. So if you can get a hold of one of those, now, the laptop in question that I had been putting in the Alpha Jacket is a 15-inch 2011 Apple MacBook Pro. The laptop has to be fairly slim. You know, it has to be fairly thin. I'm borrowing a Toshiba from my grandfather to use for certain school-related functions, and I don't know if that one will fit in there. But Apple MacBooks, full-size MacBook Pros will. You may be able to put a 15-inch, like one of those real thin laptops that doesn't have an optical drive or anything like that. You may be able to put one of the newer ones in there too. One of the newer, much more slim Windows machines. You may be able to put one of those in there too. If you're really lucky and you have a real thin 17-inch one, you may be able to fit that in there too. But don't just take my advice and don't try that unless you're really brave, because you could damage the jacket. Those pockets. The chest panels were not designed to hold laptops that big. They were designed to hold like 13-inch laptops, and that's what he expects most people to carry. And so when I carry a 15-inch laptop in mine, it does make for an interesting experience, to say the least, when you put it in there. But again, I feel more secure having it closer to me than in a separate bag. So those are just a few of the features. Lots of strategically placed pockets. Oh, one other thing. For those of you that wear glasses, all of his jackets have built-in chamois that are on cords. And you have his newer jackets have two different ways of putting your eyeglasses in them. You can drop them in from the top if you just want to stow them quickly. Or there is a zippered pocket next to it. And you can put them in there. And that has a built-in chamois. That you just pull out. It's on a cord, so it's always on you. And you can use it as to clean your glasses, or you can use it as a screen cleaner. I've done that before. I've taken my Nexus 4 out and just cleaned the screen, you know, with it having a screen cleaner on you at all times. Now, I have a limited edition hoodie from him where the eyeglass pocket itself is a chamois. The entire pocket is made out of screen cleaning cloth. Soft screen cleaning material, but there were only 350 of those made. And if you can get a hold of one, good for you. I'm going to talk about that one here in a few minutes because that's a nice one. I can't help but brag about some of the limited edition items that I have because they're just awesome. So you have that, and I talked about Clear Touch, I talked about Personal Area Network, I talked about pockets strategically located, and I talked about the pad pockets. So, different ways that you can use them. Let me give you a couple of scenarios, and then I'm going to wrap up by talking about the one that ties back to the earlier podcast that I mentioned. If you are a college student and you have to carry around a lot of stuff, and you have to, you know, you use a cane in one hand maybe, and you have a rolling bag with the other, which I did that at one time, and that was not fun at all. I often had a student assisting me with that because I had a hard time concentrating on shorelining. I have multiple disabilities. I have a bad hearing disability too, and so I have to. you know, I was just not comfortable carrying stuff in one hand and then trying to concentrate on using my cane with the other. And also, let's say you have a whole bunch of books that you carry and you lose things easily and you don't want to carry a bag. You don't want to carry a bag around because then you forget where everything is. And these help you with that. One other thing is that, like I hinted to earlier, if you are a mobile person that is that travels a lot and you have battery packs and you want to keep your devices topped off, always make sure they're powered. These are great for you because you can keep your battery pack in one pocket, have the cable go through the hole into the other pocket, and there's your device, charge it up, you're good to go. Again, it's also good for carrying tablets, and they're good for carrying tablets. Like I just said, the only one that can feasibly carry a full-size notebook computer is the Brad Thor Alpha Jacket, so if you can get a hold of one of those. The Quest Vest can carry, I think the Quest Vest can carry an Ultrabook, one of those real slim 13-inch Ultrabooks, but it can't carry a full-size laptop. Trust me, I tried to put my 15-inch laptop in there, but the Quest Vest isn't the same concept as the Alpha. It's a completely different design. The panels feel the same, but they're not as deep, and there's not as much organization. There's not as much organizational potential as, they have other pockets for that in that vest. So another thing too is if you carry a folding cane. Several of his items, several of his jackets and vests are big enough to put folding canes in. Depending on the size of your folding cane, if you are a pretty small person and you use a small folding cane, you may be able to fit one in just about any one of them, except for the pack jacket, which the pack jacket is made out of very, very, very light material, and he doesn't recommend that you weigh it down too much, because you may damage it. The pack jacket is his windbreaker, his new windbreaker, which actually literally weighs less than an iPad mini, and which is absolutely amazing. It actually weighs less than an iPad mini. It's so light. I bought one a couple of weeks ago. It's so comfortable and it's so light. I use a 68-inch folding cane, and so I only have a handful of options as far as getting my cane. I really only have three: the Quest Vest, the Alpha Jacket, and the Expedition, which is another one. It has 37 pockets. It's one of his older designs that has the two clear touch pockets. And that one, like I said earlier, that one has, I mean, when people see you, they know how many pockets, because there are just pockets all around the outside. You have things that, like, it looks like a chest pocket, and there's two zippers on it. And what you do is, like, you pull down one zipper, and it's a whole separate compartment within the pocket that's divided by a fabric layer from the other side. And, I mean, it's very, very, it's, you know, there's pockets and more pockets. I wear that one a lot of times I'll wear that one in the fall and early winter time and stuff like that when I don't need to carry a laptop around and I don't really care, but I need to carry around a lot of stuff. So that's a good one. Now, I have to mention price, because these are not cheap. I'll just say up front, even with the promo code that I have, he had a limited edition run 450 genuine lambskin leather jackets, 18 pocket leather coats, leather jackets, and they ran for, no, there were 400 of them, I'm sorry, 400 of them, and it was $450 a piece, because they were collector's items, because one of the things that came with it is you got a certificate of authenticity with Scott's autograph. He's the founder of Scotty Vest, Scott Jordan, and one of the things you got with it was a certificate with his autograph on it. And your jacket was, each jacket was numbered, and it was like, it was hand certified. And even with a 20% off promo code that I had, it was pretty, I saved $90, but it was still pretty expensive. That was one of those jackets that I was absolutely determined to get, though, because I've always wanted to own a leather jacket. I love wearing that one. It's more of a dress jacket, so I don't wear it all the time, because it's nicer than his other ones, and so it's designed to be worn, like, if you're in a semi-formal atmosphere, you know, like, you don't need the suit, but you need something nice. You know, it's good for that, but again, there were only 400 of them made. I think he's about sold out. Last I checked, I think he's about sold out, but I'm not sure. And also the Nomadic, which is the hoodie I'll talk about in a minute, the limited edition hoodie that was designed by Jeff Staple of Reed Space Boutique in New York City, which there were only 350 of them ever made. There were only 350 of them made, although from what I understand, so many people are clamoring for it now because they love it. They loved it, and they weren't able to get a hold of them, that they are talking about collaborating with him again, either on a different design altogether, or one of the same pattern, which I think it's going to be a different design that's going to be more mass produced, because this was intended to be a limited edition. It just screams limited edition with the features it has. You know, and again, it was $105. I got it for 20% off. So they're not expensive. They're pretty expensive, I'm sorry. And the Alpha jacket is $200. The Expedition is $200. The Quest vest right now, which has 42 pockets. It's a vest that has 42 pockets, and including a built-in backpack on the back. That one is going for the introductory price of $145, but I think that one's probably going to go up to, that one might go up to $200 after a few months. So they are not expensive. That packable windbreaker is only $75 if you're interested in that one. Like, if you just want one to try, you can get the pack jacket for $75. Now, you don't get as many of the features that I just described on the pack jacket. It only has 13 pockets. It's designed to be, as he puts it, the quote-unquote spare tire. Like, if you need a jacket just to throw on, or you need an extra layer of fabric, he didn't even design it for warmth. It's just designed to be an extra layer of fabric. And so, you know, if you want one that you can just pick up and throw on when you need to carry more stuff, but like I said earlier, it is extremely light. Don't weigh it down. He doesn't even recommend you put a full-sized iPad in there, because because that's how light it is, and you could weigh it down. So just be aware of that when you pick one out. I will be happy to help you if you need help. I'll get my email address at the end of the podcast. I'll be glad to help you choose one. Bear in mind, there are some that I just do not want, that I am not interested in getting. And there are some, like I said, that I used to have that I gave away. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that any of you have on how a blind person can utilize these products. One thing too, he has great customer service reps working for him. I told him I was totally blind, and they have gone above and beyond helping me figure out where things are and stuff like that. In fact, we were kind of joking around back and forth about the hoodie that I bought from them, the Nomadic, particular feature on it. People were staring at it like, what in the world's he got on? And when I told him that, he said, what, they couldn't read? You know, which, I mean, it was really funny to talk about. And he one of their CSRs actually described to me what it looked like, which was really cool. Because they said, yeah, well, you're going to get compliments on it. And I'm like, yeah. And I have gotten a ton of compliments on it from young people that I know. Other young people that I know love it. I know I went yesterday to a young adult Bible study at our Catholic cathedral, and I got a lot of compliments on it, when I walked in. But overall, I think these jackets and vests are good. They would be very beneficial to a blind person who wants to stay organized and also stay secure, knowing where all their things are. Now, I realize that a lot of people are going to say this. I realize that you may lose, some of you probably worry about losing your way in the jacket because, there's so many pockets. So my advice to you guys is to start small, like I did. I mean, I started off with the old version of the old windbreaker, which has been supplanted by the pack jacket, which had 17 pockets, and then I had the Transformer, which had 18. And then I gradually progressed to one with 26 and then 37, and you know, now I'm on 42. But if you worry about that, start small. You know, start with one of the smaller ones. You know, maybe even one of his mass production hoodies that has, you know, 10 pockets. You know, just, you know, start off with that, see how you like it. And then you can progress from there. one thing too that you may want to get a hold of them about is if you get, because he names, this company names their colors real weird that you can choose from. They name some of them real weird. And I always go for black or gray because I want to be able to, for it to go with just about anything. So, what I always ask them, like, I was trying to figure out, like, there was a jacket that I bought, that I was going to buy that I bought a couple of weeks ago called the Tropiformer. And I said, you know, and he had like pewter, cement, green, red, you know, and I'm like, okay, do you have a gray one? And by then they had figured out that I was blind because I told them, and they said, oh, choose the pewter color because it's gray with red zippers. And so, and I got confirmation from someone last week that it is indeed gray with red zippers. And the Tropiformer is a really cool one because it was actually designed for summer use. It's made out of very light, what they call tropical material. It's mesh lined. It's designed to keep you cool, not warm. The interesting thing about that one is that the chest pocket is divided. So what happens is you unzip it and there's a pocket and then there is a magnetic seal. And when you undo it, there is an interior chest pocket. It's called the in and out pocket. It's designed, you can go through, get into the chest pocket without having to unzip the coat, which is an awesome feature. Love it. When I need to reach something real quick. His jackets also have pockets for IDs, dedicated pockets for IDs, so you can make sure you always have one on you. Dedicated wallet pockets that are sealed. His newer ones have dedicated wallet pockets that are sealed. Now, my wallet is personally too big for those, except for in the Brad Thor Alpha jacket and the Quest vest, which I in those cases, I put them in the RFID blocking pockets. But so just... be aware of what you're choosing. Be aware of what is there, what's available. Look at what's available. You know, tell them you're visually impaired and that you want some assistance from them. They will be happy to help you. They have helped me a ton. When I started buying my own, they gave me a lot of help with, you know, they described the colors. They, you know, if I had questions, I'd be like, you know, where is this particular pocket located? You know, they would tell me. And so, you know, I mean, it was really good. Now, wiring, I have no experience with because I have a Bluetooth interface that goes directly to my hearing aids that I wear around my neck. And my setup is entirely wireless. I can't do earbuds because I do behind-the-ear hearing aids. So that is one thing I cannot help anyone with is wiring. I mean, I have a general idea of how you're supposed to do it. Now, there is a blind person that I know that just ordered one who was shown how to. He was fortunate enough to run into. He stopped by the Scotty Vest booth at a trade show, and he was able to get them to show him hands on how to do it. Which, you know, so you know, if you're lucky enough, or you have a sighted person with you that can describe what's going on. He has a video on his website talking about how to do it. So just be aware of that. Now, there is a company called iGear that some of you, especially in the UK, may have heard about. iGear is a direct ripoff of Scotty Vest. Basically, what the guys who run that company did is they went and they basically copied his designs and claimed it as their own. And from what I understand, it's basically a scam because you get this and, you know, like it. They say it's clear touch fabric, but it's not. It's like plastic, hard plastic, you know, and whatever. He has a blog post on it on the website, scottyvest.com, where you can read about, you know, what iGear did, basically screwed him over and tried to take his designs and claim them as their own. It's terrible. I don't support them at all costs. I encourage no one to support iGear. I do not. I have no respect for them at all, because of what they've done. I am very, very loyal to Scott and his company. I'm a very regular buyer, as those of you that know me very well know. I'm a very regular buyer from him. But again, I mean, it's also what you want. If you don't want to be wearing, you know, a light jacket every day or a vest, you know, he has shirts and pants that also have, you know, a whole bunch of hidden pockets or whatever. Now, the shirts and pants don't have the personal area network or anything like that. But you do get pockets. Actually, I may be wrong about that. I think one of his shirts has that personal area network, but I don't hold me to that because I don't have any of them. I mean, I don't mind wearing a jacket or a vest every day. It's what I've come to start doing, and I'm used to doing it. And so, and now that I have year-round outfits at last, I will be doing that. You know, I'll be wearing either a jacket or a vest every day. Now, as it gets hotter, I'm going to probably switch to vests, but, I'll take the sleeves off the Tropiformer and turn it into a vest so anyway, now I'm going to talk about airport travel tips with a Scotty vest. This is one of the big, big things that he markets Scotty vest as, and that is carry-on bag replacements. So I'm going to talk about what my experiences have been. Now, the views and opinions expressed here are my own. I disagree with what most people probably do at airports. Because I have multiple disabilities, I am an avid pre-boarder. And you say, well, what does that have to do with it? I'll explain in a minute. But I pre-board. I get assistance everywhere. And even when I get off the plane, I always wait, and I'm the last person off the plane and get escorted by a gate agent. But where that comes into play is I'm going to talk about my experiences about traveling through the airport with a Scotty vest on. Now, first of all, the TSA people are being trained to recognize Scotty vest clothes to the people that wear them. Although that can, if they are ignorant, which is what happened a couple of weeks ago, it can turn into a very harrowing experience going through security, which I'll explain that in a second. But what happens a lot is that if you travel through if you're traveling on a plane and you wear one of these, when I travel on a plane. My favorite ones to wear are the Alpha Jacket or the Alpha Jacket and the Expedition, which is which are his, you know, Pocketus Maximus jackets. He has the vest that has 42, but I'm talking about the jackets because of their carrying capacity, and you know, I can carry stuff in them. I went to Louisiana actually last November for a friend of mine's graduation from the NFB training center there, and I traveled with everything because I took an overnight trip, and I traveled with everything in the 37 pocket jacket. People were floored, that was going on, and it's like, whoa, how are you doing that? And so basically what happens is that when you go through there, when you're with a jacket or a vest, depending on what you're wearing, a lot of times you just just say, this is my carry-on, take it off, put it in a tub, and they'll send it through. Now, if you're carrying a laptop, if you have one of the ones that can carry a laptop, or you're carrying like a Chromebook or an Ultrabook in one of the pad pockets, that you will need to take it out. Okay, that is required. You do need to let them know, hey, I have a laptop in here, you know, may I have a separate basket? You will still need to take that out. But other than that, you just lay your jacket in there and they send it through and you come out on the other side. Nobody's touched your things. And you just put your jacket back on and you have everything else being there. So that's very convenient. Now, if you have, TSA agents that are not familiar with Scotty vest, and this is what happened to me a couple of years ago. I had on my Nomadic hoodie, which I, the aforementioned limited edition hoodie that I had on earlier. I was flying from Louisville, Kentucky, where I had attended a wedding, back to Dallas, and it was cold in Kentucky. So I had the Nomadic hoodie, which is a fleece, hoodie, and then I had on the Brad Thor Alpha jacket. And the main reason why I wore the Rat or Alpha jacket is because of the, again, carrying capacity. Not everything I needed to take could fit in the hoodie, and so I needed to wear a jacket over it as a carry-on, you know, because I was bringing a laptop. And I was also carrying, you know, various articles like toiletries and power cords and stuff like that. And I wasn't carrying like toothpaste or anything like that. I did have a toothbrush in there, and then I had, you know, power cords. I had a flash drive in case I needed to access a Windows machine. I had a flash drive with NVDA. I had a ironically enough, I had the adapter for the BookPort Plus and forgot to pick up the BookPort itself on the way out. But I needed something where I could carry all my power cords and computer and stuff like that. So I had on the Alpha jacket over the hoodie. Now, in that instance, I was allowed to keep the hoodie on and take the big jacket off. You know, both times I went through, both at DFW and at Louisville International. But what happened at Louisville International was there were agents there who were not familiar with the concept of, you know, the whole Scotty Vest idea of having a whole bunch of hidden pockets and doubling as a carry-on. And I got taken aside. I requested to go through the full body scanner. I would rather do that because a lot of times the line is shorter. One of the things that my experience has been is that if you are blind, you get to request how you want to go through security, whether you want to do the metal detector, you want to do the full body scanner, and I always do the full body scanner. I get patted down, which is the routine. You know, you spread your arms out and they pat you down after the full body scanner. And then they get suspicious because, you know, my jacket came through and it had all those pockets in it and you know, whatever. And, you know, I'm also carrying stuff in the hoodie, too, which is covered in magnet. You know, the two big outside pockets have magnetic closures and stuff like that. I got taken aside and after a pat down and probed with one of those metal detection, with one of those wands. You know, they run it all up and down you, and they even got beneath the hoodie and probed with that looking for metal. I mean, they thought I was hiding something. And, you know, they seriously thought I was hiding something. And I mean, I got cleared, you know, and I was able to go to my gate, but it was interesting because I kept asking him, I'm like, hey, why is this taking longer than usual? And he goes, oh, well, we need to take you aside. We think you're concealing something. And I'm like, I'm not. And he goes, well, we're checking anyway. And so they took me aside and I got searched, with a metal detection wand in addition to a pat down. You know, so, just be aware of that. You know, you may oftentimes have agents that are not familiar with, you know, clothes like this, you know, that where they, you know, they have enough pockets to double as carry-ons. And so if they, I mean, even after I explained to them, they probably will still search you like crazy to make sure that you are legit. That's what happened to me, and so just be aware of that when you go through. Don't get mad at them. You know, I didn't. I put up with it, but in fact, I found it kind of hilarious. But bear in mind, like especially if you're wearing that Alpha jacket or the Expedition jacket, the one that's like covered in pockets, you will be. And if they don't know, if they've never seen people with those things before, you will probably get taken aside. And in addition to if you do the full body scanner, you will probably get taken aside for an additional layer of an additional security search in addition to a pat down. Okay, that's what happened to me. I mean, it's no big deal because our flight was delayed, but it's just something to be aware of. And if you pre-board, you have the opportunity to store your jacket in a convenient place before everyone else gets on board. I personally, every time I have had to fly, I prefer American Eagle. And the reason that I prefer American Eagle is because the whole left side of the plane is all single seats all the way back, one across seating all the way back. And so having your own seat, if you're wearing a Scotty vest, having your own seat with no one next to you gives you a huge advantage because you can stow it in the seat and not worry about getting in someone else's way. Because let me tell you something, if you have a whole bunch of stuff in there and you are trying to store it, it will get interesting. It will get interesting. When I was in, on the way back from Louisville, I unfortunately was unable to get an A seat, which is what they're called, you know, the one across seating. I was unable to get an A seat because it was a completely sold out flight, and it made for an interesting experience trying to stow it. Thankfully the person next to me was my grandfather, so he knew, that I was going to, you know, so he let me put the armrest up so I can have a little bit more room to stow it. So just be aware of that. You can also put it in the overhead bin. Actually, I had him put my big jacket in the overhead bin, so that way I could always have it. I could have it up there and I knew it was secure. However, when I get seats to myself, when I do the one across seating, I will typically just put it in the seat and whatever, because you know that you have a little bit more room in the A seats, so you can put it in there, and then you can always have access to your things, and you can also keep your cane with you. So, like if you have a foldable cane, and the flight attendant tries to take it away from you, in the unlikely event she tries to take it away from you, you can just put it in your coat, and she'll never see it again. I have not had that happen to me. Back in the days when I used a straight cane, I asked them to stow it because I refuse to sit towards the front of the plane. I'm not a fan of doing that. I choose to sit as far back as I can, preferably the last row because it's closest to the lavatory, and also because back in the days when I was using a straight cane, it would go against the wall, you know, so that way I could just grab it easily. So I always pre-board and I sit in the back. I refuse to sit in an exit row. I refuse to sit in an exit row seat. But that's just my opinion. If you have one of these, I personally recommend that you pre-board because it will give you a little bit more time to figure out how you're going to stow it, especially if you're on like one of the a full-size jet with three across seating. I think it's a good idea to ask to be pre-boarded so that you can figure out how you're going to stow it. And also, if you're last off the plane, it gives you time to put the jacket or vest back on. It gives you time to put it back on. You know, you can make sure you have everything and that nothing fell out, which, you know, you just make sure everything's zipped up and whatever. But it's so awesome. Now, even if, because I recognize that there are blind people out there who think that if you have the skills, then you shouldn't have to pre-board. And I understand where they're coming from, and I agree with that. Pre-boarding, the choice to pre-board is up to you. I choose to, but again, I have multiple disabilities. I prefer to pre-board mainly so that I don't get disoriented and I can be escorted to where I need to go and get assistance once I'm on the plane, stowing everything and whatever. Now, a couple of weeks ago, because I was traveling with family, I did not pre-board. My dad is a frequent flyer, and he has what they call priority access, which means that you're in the first group to board, but it's not pre-boarding, so that's different. But if you are wearing one of these, some airlines now, I think Delta and I think a couple of others, they are letting passengers that are not carrying bags board first. Ahead of everyone else. So if you're wearing one of these and you don't want to pre-board, and you're wearing a Scotty vest, you can board first anyway. You can board first anyway because you don't have a carry-on. And that's a really cool thing. Of course, so anyway, just some things to bear in mind, you know, when I talk about, you know, because when he was talking about, doing carry-on bags and whatever, in the podcast, I decided to do this and talk about and not only do an overview of Scotty Vest, but also do my perspective on the whole airport travel as someone who when he travels in airports, I am personally an Amtrak traveler. I travel Amtrak 99% of the time. When I need to go somewhere independently, I choose to travel by Amtrak because I have that kind of time. And there's more room, and you know, you can fully recline your seat and whatever. I recognize the efficiency of flying, and I will fly if I absolutely have to. Like when I went to Louisiana, I had to fly because Amtrak doesn't serve Monroe or Ruston. So I was like, okay, well, I can't take the train. So I flew, but you know, it's, that is just an overview. Oh, and I want to, I know I talked about the hoodie a lot. I want to talk a little bit about that, because that really is a cool product. If you can get a hold of one of the, because I think he still has a few left, if you can get a hold of the Nomadic hoodie, again, it was a limited edition of only 350, although I believe there, it is being redesigned, you know, because it got to be so popular that the customers are voting on the next design, and that's what's going to be produced. But again, I think it's going to be limited still. It is a geek's paradise. It is a geek's hoodie. I mean, there's 15 pockets in it. It's a personal area. There you have the personal area network thing where you can wire stuff. One of the really big things that makes this stand out is that there is a when you pull the hood up, there is a flap that you can pull out, and it comes down over your eyes. And it says do not disturb. It is a do not disturb sign. It has a built-in do not disturb mask. And it's designed for if you are on a plane wearing it and you want to get sleep or something, and people are trying to talk to you, you can pull that down and read it. And people can see, you know, it says, I mean, it's got do not disturb written plain as day across the top of the of it, at the level where people can see it. In fact, when I flew a couple of weeks ago with it for the first time, I apparently, from what I was told later, because I was in the A seat and I was, you know, getting situated and whatever, and I had gotten, you know, I had, was making myself at home and I had pulled the mask down because I wanted to be left alone. And I was making myself, pulled the sunshade down, turned on the air jet, you know, sat back and you know, made sure that everything was okay. But from what I was told later, there was not a person that walked by my seat that wasn't staring at it. That led, again, when I told Scott that, when I told Scotty Vassetti, he said, so what, they couldn't read? They just stared at it? You know, it was a running joke. But, I mean, if you manage to get a hold of one of those Nomadic hoodies, you will probably get stared at because it has a stripe, very, very big standout stripe pattern based on Dazzle camouflage from the early 20th century. And there's, you know, it's I believe it's gray and black stripes. And it really, really stands out. I mean, people will look at you. You know, if you get it. Now, I didn't get it for attention. I got it for convenience because I needed, I wanted it because I, you know, because this sounded like a hoodie that I would actually wear. I didn't do hoodies until I bought that. And then I'm like, oh, you know, I love this. And the Do Not Disturb mask is just a bonus. One other use that I can think of for this, and please, anybody that endorses this way of doing rehabilitation training, don't take this as an insult. I don't mean it to be an insult, but it's just something that I thought of for laughs. For the people that advocate using sleep shades all the time at rehab centers, if a person has one of these, the sleep shade is built right into it. So all they got to do is just pull the mask down over their eyes. I believe it's a black it's a black flap, so they can't see anything through it anyway. So you can pull that down over your eyes, and then when center staff ask you where are your sleep shades, you show them. You show them the thing that pulls down. It comes out of your hood. It's a really cool thing. In fact, I wore the hoodie today actually because it was cool but not cold. And again, I also have the other limited edition item he has, which is the men's leather jacket. Love that jacket. Super, super comfortable. Very soft. But again, it's very elegant. It's also very elegant. It's more formal looking. So I don't wear that all the time. I hope that I know I barely scratched the surface of this. And if any of you have any questions, I'm going to go ahead and give my contact information now. If you want to go deeper or you have more questions for me, because I know that I probably left a lot of you with questions. You can send me an email at coasterfreak88@mac.com. Actually, you can use mac.com, me.com, or icloud.com, mac.com, me.com, or icloud.com, and they will go to the same inbox. I go far enough back with Apple to have a mac.com domain. Back in 2008, I remember that really well because I got .mac 2 months before Mobile Me came out. So I'm one of the people that retains a mac.com domain, a mac.com email address. And that's the one I usually give people. You can also follow me on Twitter at coasterfreak88. So if you would like to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me there. You can also reach me at facebook.com/coasterfreak88. You can add me as a friend on there if you would like. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that y'all have about this. And I hope that this podcast has been somewhat informative. I know I barely scratched the surface of this, and I probably left more questions than answers. But I hope that this has piqued your interest. And I will see y'all later.